This week on The Art Show, we had a ceramic artist who actually brought in her potter's wheel. It was a completely fun episode. Shannon Garson came in and she spoke to me three times or so during the show. So we've brought all those little bits together for you here on The Art Show Potter's Wheel. I am so excited about this week's studio artist, so let's just get right to her. Her name is Shannon Garson, and she's a ceramic artist based on the Sunshine Coast hinterland here in Queensland. Now, we've had a number of potters already here on The Art Show, but we've never had a potter bring in their pottery wheel into the studio until today. Shannon has lugged her bulky electric wheel, it's about the size of a bar fridge, all the way down here for us. She's going to work some clay, she's going to do some painting, and Shannon's going to tell us about her own process, particularly the beautiful way she decorates her porcelain creations. Shannon, thank you so much for going to such efforts, such lengths, and coming onto The Art Show.
I'm thrilled to be here.
So, if you'd like to, should we get the wheel up and going as we have a chat? This is serious multitasking. Now, Shannon, I said that you were going to be throwing some pots, but actually, is that the correct term? Is that what you're doing right now, of throwing a pot?
Well, there's two parts to making a finished pot the way I pot. The first is when you start from a blob of clay and turn it into a bowl. That's called throwing.
Okay.
And it's very slippery and wet and messy. And the second part is slightly messy as well, but it's called turning, and it's when you refine the shape and make the foot and make the shape look beautiful.
Okay, so you're sitting here, so you're sitting in a fairly low slung chair, and you have the wheel in front of you, which sort of looks, it's a beautiful egg shape. It's maybe about half a metre in length and a little bit narrower, and you have the pot that you've already made, but you're now turning it. So can you describe what you're doing with the actual turning?
Well, my pot's on the wheel upside down, so it looks like a dome shape, if you can imagine a bowl upside down. And the foot's quite messy because when I finish throwing, I have to lift it off the wheel and it's got finger marks and it's a bit chunky and unrefined. And so I'm using this kind of little carving tool, and loops of wet clay are coming off and they look like curls, like beautiful curls of hair from a Victorian child.
Yes, they do. And the carving tool almost looks like a vegetable peeler.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with your turning the pot now, what are you aiming to do?
Well, I want what I want is something that someone else once told me, which is a turned pot with a foot on the bottom should look like a lady wearing high heels. It should stand from the table, looking proud, slightly self-conscious, and very beautiful.
Okay, so that's what you're going to do during the show. That is incredibly exciting. Doing this on national radio, do you find that any sort of difference in your mental state affects how the pot comes out?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying that being on national radio is any pressure, but, you know, it might sort of slightly change things.
Yeah, I think it does. But I also think that throwing pots, like the shape of pots that a thrower makes, is a bit like handwriting. Like everyone has their own signature of how they throw, and it's very distinctive. And once you get into looking at handmade pots, you can really see who threw them by the shape of the profile and the way the foot looks and things like that. Yeah.
Now, Shannon, you usually work in your studio rather than the radio studio. You usually work in Mullaney. For people who don't know Mullaney, can you describe the town?
Oh, Mullaney.
And the area, I guess.
Well, Mullaney is such a beautiful town. It's about 100 kilometres north of Brisbane, but it's in the mountains. So you're driving along the Bruce Highway, which is basically a sea level road, and then you turn off and go up this really, really steep, windy road, and the air gets 2 or 3 degrees cooler, and then you're on the Blackall Ranges, which is the plateau of Mullaney. It used to be dairy farming area, and before that, it was rainforest.
So your studio is there in the middle of town?
Yeah, yeah. So we live in a little old wooden house in the middle of town. And I actually grew up in Mullaney, and I used to look at our house when I was a child, when I went to Brownies. And I thought it was a very nice house, and now I live there.
Oh, gosh, that's adorable. Is Mullaney actually a centre for other artists?
It's quite an artistic town, and it's been sort of a magnet for artists for quite some time, probably since the 70s, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you are working on this. How long is it going to take for you to turn it, and what else will you be doing during the hour?
Well, the turning's quite fast, so that'll take about 5 minutes probably.
Only?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, everything in this kind of way of making starts fast and then gets slower and slower and slower until the very end.
That's a great way of looking at it. Okay, so you're going to be turning it, and then you're going to talk us through and show us some of your painting of the of different pots.
Yes.
In the second part of the programme.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Shannon, have a great time. Thank you so much again for lugging all of this stuff with you that you're seriously putting in for the ABC. So thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ed.
Talk to you again in about sort of 15 or so minutes. So yes, I'll be back with Shannon a little bit later. I hope you can stay tuned to the art show. And we're posting photos of Shannon and her wheel turning on Twitter at @artsonrn. You're listening to The Art Show here on RN. My name's Ed Ayres. And I'm so happy that you have an in-studio artist with you today who brought in her wheel to do some turning of a pot. And she is now going on to the next stage of pot preparation. Shannon Garson. Shannon, a potter, a painter, and a lover of nature. Shannon's been turning a vessel on the wheel that she brought into the studio. So Shannon, you've finished the turning now. What's going to happen now? How did the turning go, by the way?
The turning was great.
Do you ever turn too much and something disastrous happens?
Yeah, that can happen, especially when you're starting and especially when you use porcelain, which is characterised by being very fine, so fine that light can shine through it. So, yeah, you can get too enthusiastic and turn right through the pot, make a hole.
Oh, dear. How do you tell whether it's the correct thinness or not?
Well, when I'm turning, I'm tapping the pot and it makes a little bit of a sound, but what I really actually am responding to is the vibration. So you can tell if it's getting thinner.
Yes.
And now I've been doing it for a lot of years, I can tell when the optimal point is.
Oh, so it's actually like playing a musical instrument.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, because it's hollow inside.
Yes. Yeah. How wonderful. Okay, so that pot is on the trolley and that pot's going to have to wait now, isn't it? What will happen to that actual pot that you've turned in the studio?
Well, that pot, when I turn it, is still a little bit wet. So you might not think it's wet, but how you can tell is if the surface feels cool.
Yeah.
And when it's bone dry, which is a potter's term, that means that it's ready for my next stage, which is decorating and drawing on the pot.
Okay, so you have now so beautifully, thank you so much for being so well prepared, you've now brought in a pot that is the pot that you've turned, but kind of 4 days hence. So we're accelerating time and you now have this pot that is now bone dry and you're now painting. So what are you using, first of all? What paints are you using?
Well, I use a mixture of paints. So underglazes are paints that you can buy ready mixed. They're sort of like the potter's equivalent of watercolours or something like that. So I use them and I use oxides, which is what makes the colours. So it's basically powdered minerals like cobalt or chrome or things like that. And then I also use this other material called terra sigillata.
What an amazing word. Say that word again.
Terra sigillata.
Okay, tell me about that.
So terra sigillata is something that's been used for many thousands of years in pottery, and you can see it in the red and black Greek vases. And it's basically a very, very refined clay slurry. So you can make it yourself. I make mine myself. So I dig up some dirt and I bought some dirt in here to show you, Ed.
So you did. This is great. This is like a sort of combination of play school and the science show. I'm loving it. Thank you. I'll just reach over and get that. Okay. That's the earth. So it's very, very dry. Okay, and where did you get this from? Just from your back garden?
Well, you can get it from your back garden. This particular dirt is very special. A really special friend of mine actually collected it from down near Bermagui. I particularly like this Terra sigillata because it makes a beautiful rich orange colour when you make the terracege out of it.
Yeah. So you've got that dirt and then you have to let it dry.
Yeah.
And then pound it.
Yep. Into a powder.
Yeah.
And then you put it in water with a deflocculant. And
what is a deflocculant?
Deflocculants make all the clay molecules. Normally they sort of stand up like hexagons, sort of like a beehive.
Yes.
Wax shape. Mm. Terracege makes them all lie down flat on top of one another. And the deflocculant makes that happen.
Yes.
But you would only know that was happening after a couple of days when you let it just stand and it settles.
Okay. So you're using that and your other paints and you're working now on this bowl. Just tell me briefly what you're going to be doing over the next sort of 20 minutes or so with the bowl.
Well, this bowl's all about the forest edge, and a bird that I particularly love is the welcome swallow. So I'm using terra sigillatas and underglazes and oxides to paint a welcome swallow onto the interior of this bowl.
All right, Shannon, thank you. And you'll be able to see photographs of Shannon's progress if you go to our Twitter page. Our handle at Twitter is @artsonrn. That's @artsonrn. Thanks, Shannon. Listening to The Art Show here on RN. My name's Ed Ayres, and you're back here again with Shannon Garson, this week's studio artist. And Shannon brought in her pottery wheel into the studio, did some turning for us at the beginning of the show. We avoided throwing. I think it was maybe going to get a little bit too messy. But Shannon is now using one of her porcelain creations as her canvas. And Shannon's, over the last sort of 15, 20 minutes or so, has been painting directly onto this bowl. You can see pictures on our Twitter page. Shannon, how's the painting going along? So you're painting a bird. Is it a swallow?
Yeah. A welcome swallow.
Okay. So how's the painting going?
It's going good. Bit unusual circumstances, but I think I'm okay.
Yeah. I hope the light's all right. You got some beautiful river light coming in.
I have.
Yeah. That's good. Hey, Shannon, what happens if you go wrong?
Well,
painting onto pottery.
This method, because I'm using raw clay, greenware, it can't really go wrong. Like, I can just scrape the surface off slightly, which would be less than a millimetre, if I go wrong. So I can just keep on working and taking things away as well as adding things to the drawing.
And what's it like painting on that 3D surface as opposed to just a flat surface?
Oh, I just love it now. It was a real challenge when I started, because, you know, small bowls have a very tight curve on the inside, but I just find it really adds something interesting to a three-dimensional drawing, and that is how I think of my work, as a drawing. So if you flattened it all out, it would be like a very strange-shaped drawing in two dimensions, but in three dimensions, things can come alive because the shape of the three-dimensional form actually suggests things to the viewer.
Ah, yeah, that's great. Yes, wonderful. Now, Shannon, you have two practices in a way. You make porcelain tableware for everyday use, and then you also create one-off exhibition pieces. Can you tell me about the tableware, first of all?
Oh, the tableware I love. So I started off really more with tableware. And that's plates, bowls, jugs and things. And I think it's really important. I think everyone thinks it's important to use objects that they find meaningful. Mm. And, you know, that might be a mass-produced mug with World's Best Dad printed on it. Or it might be something you bought from a potter that you know, or something from a holiday you bought. And people love their special things, you know, especially their cups.
Yes, that's right. Something that we do use every day that has some sort of emotional meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you produce tableware that will actually be used. It's like it's meant to be used for drinking and eating.
Yeah. The cups and plates and bowls that I produce, I really want them to be used. I think people should put them in the dishwasher. Mm. And something people often say to me is, oh, I might break it. Well, that's true. that's what you get for using things, and, you know, have the joy of it. Don't put it away. That's what I say.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. I mean, again, it's like a musical instrument. They need to be used. I mean, it's true that then there's wear and tear, but we need to hear them. What sort of patterns do you, what sort of decoration do you have on that tableware?
It reflects the environment in the same way as the exhibition work does, but tableware has to have a pattern that can be reproduced again and again and again. So even though each drawing's individual, it still has to be something that you can sort of do in mass numbers. And I'm not like a really great production potter, so when I say mass numbers, mine are fairly small.
How many pots would you be able to make, let's say, over the course of a week?
Well, tableware, I could probably throw, I'd probably throw 50 pots.
Okay.
And then that would probably take me about 3 weeks to decorate, and that is why I'm not a production potter.
Yes, no, that's completely fair enough. So what is it, what else do you love about making everyday pieces that people will actually use?
Oh, I love the thought that they're somewhere next to, you know, a world's best dad mug and, you know, some ugly ornament that your auntie gave you for Christmas when you were 8 years old. I just love the thought of them being in the jumble of people's lives.
How do you then move from everyday tableware to specific one-off exhibition pieces?
Well, it's a really different way of thinking, actually. So the exhibition pieces have drawings that are not easily reproduced. They're one-off things. And for that kind of drawing, you have to really connect to your inner self. And it's quite hard work. And you can't even often say what emotion you're connecting to. It's just that you're connected to emotions. And if you're not, then the drawing doesn't really work.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I guess that's the key thing for being an artist.
Yeah.
No matter what you're working in.
Yes.
Shannon, it has been such a pleasure and a delight to have you here in the studio today. Thank you for all the effort, for everything that you've brought in and the thought that you've put behind it. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Shannon Garson, a ceramic artist based on the Sunshine Coast hinterland. And Shannon will be at the Brisbane Design Market this Friday, the 24th of May, from 4 to 9 o'clock. So this Friday, the 24th of May, from 4pm to 9pm. And you can catch Shannon next month as well at the Rochefort Gallery in Sydney. That's Rochefort Gallery. And Shannon is part of the group exhibition there, which is called Silhouette, the Body of Nature. And that opens on June the 26th. And you can head to our website for more information on Shannon and also to see photos of her in the studio today.